The brain needs repetition to learn new things. This is Dr. Herbert L. Barley, Dean of the University of Healing here in Campo, California, with a thought for today. The brain needs repetition to learn new things. How well that is stated. What's another word for repetition?
Habit.
The brain needs new habits. The brain needs new affirmations.
Yeah.
The brain needs new inspiration. What is the repetition that the brain needs? We were just talking about animals and how animals have veterinarians and how historically animals never had veterinarians and animals were basically healthy. And when an animal was not healthy, it was allowed to die. And then that attitude did not build up in the rest of the animals, and the rest of the animals were all healthy. Wherever there was an unhealthy animal, which was not being harmonious with the pack, that animal was destroyed so that it would not continue destroying the pack. Now, among humans, we don't do that. Among humans, if there is an imperfection in us, we don't destroy the human. We just try to help the human. And the condition grows, and other people are infected, affected, and destroyed because of it, and we don't have the courage to do something about it. Well, now, we can research it, and we can do stories on it. We can write about it. We can work on it very strongly. We can be very interested in it. Now, there's an article that was in a publication a couple thousand years ago, and it said, "Let the little children come unto me, for such is the kingdom of heaven." And now, our scientists are telling us, which the church has told us for centuries. Church says, give me a child from the age of 1 to 6, and I'll have them as a member of the church for life. You know, okay? Now, that's a bunch of garbage. A bunch of stupid, stupid garbage. How could a child being in the environment of any activity from 1 to 6 have it influence their entire life? Now, science has been doing some research in that, and they have found that a child from 1 to 6 is a sponge, and it just soaks up everything from its environment. It soaks up everything. It is absolutely fantastic. It is brilliant. It is able to do anything. It is wise. It is very receptive to everything. It can learn 3, 4, 5 languages at one time and learn them all without dialect, beautifully, beautifully, as the language is being taught in its perfect style. A child has the ability to do all these things. Well, what does that mean? What does that mean? Now, many people are coming out with the fact that when little children are properly oriented from 1 to 6 and told that they're a genius and told that they're wonderful, that the rest of their life they'll do rather well. And of course, if they're encouraged for the rest of their life to do very well, they will be geniuses all their life. Now, that sounds interesting. The brain needs repetition to learn new things. Well, now, that's a bunch of garbage. Brain needs new repetition to learn new things. Affirmations don't mean anything. Repetition doesn't mean anything. You tell a little boy, then a bad little boy, I won't be a bad little boy, I won't be a bad little boy, I won't be a bad... And he's just learns how to really be a bad little boy. He builds up the capacity to be a bad little boy. But here you're telling him not to be a bad little boy, and he's learning how to be a bad little boy. Why is that? Well, I guess repetition means something, huh? Now, what if you were to say to a child, I will be good. I will always follow the rules. I like the rules. I think the rules are wonderful. I think the rules are fantastic. I love the rules. And then make a game out of the rules and have fun with the rules. Make the... Well, that's all interesting too. But where does the confusion come in a child's life or in an adult's life? Where does the confusion come in? Well, the confusion comes in whoever is the role model. What kind of a role model are they? What kind of a role model are they? Now, we say other people are terrible. Other people are bad. Other people are evil. Other people are... How do we know that unless we have that as they're our mirror? We see them. Any person on the face of the earth who's doing anything improper or unkind is a mirror of what we are. So our brain needs to learn some new things. Now, what's the new thing we want to learn? We want to learn how to live in a world of harmony and peace and love. Oh, there is no such thing as harmony and peace and love in the world. There's no such... Of course not. There's no such thing as harmony, peace, and love in the world if that is what we repeatedly say. We will repeatedly live in war, live in challenges, live in conflict, live in unhappiness. Well, how can we live in happiness? How can we live... Well, that's Pollyanna. That's right. Mm-hmm, that's right. Name it anything you like. If you treat your dog with respect and love, if you honor your dog, if you love your dog to pieces and just enjoy him, is he going to bite you? Is he going to want to do things that you want him to do? Is he going to want to be with you? Is he going to enjoy? Is he going to delight in your role model? Or if you're an angry person, if you're always after everybody and not happy with anybody, do you think that dog is going to be happy around you? Not at all. Dogs are a good reflection of their environment. So, when we start being repetitious of things that we want to learn, things that we want to put into our consciousness, then we have it. Now, I look at people and I watch them and I see them loving or not loving and kind or not kind. And then they say they're being kind. And they say, I'm a kind person. They don't say that I'm a kind person, just I'm a kind person. And everybody in their world is a kind person. Everybody in their world is just a joy to be with. And then you look at other people who are unkind and their world is filled with unkind people. And they say, how come all the people in my world are unkind? How come all the people in my world are not nice? And then they realize they can't say that because they realize that other people are smart too. Other people look at other people and see when they're happy and know why they're happy and see when they're sad and know why they're sad. They know why. They know that they are the role model for their world. So now, the brain needs repetition to learn new things. This is being studied by scientists, and they know that. They go into the brain, and they have all sorts of names there. Yeah, I'll write them down next time, so I'll have them to share with you. But they have all sorts of names there. And they have a quiz. They have a program. And in the program, they tell you to do different things. And they explain why they have you do it. They tell you how it affects your brain and how your brain listens to this and how your brain is doing these things and how it's okay to make mistakes because you're in the learning situation. And so I'm doing the the thing that they ask me to do. And some days I'm very toppy-top, and other days I'm in the middle, and other days I'm in the bottom. And I was looking at the scientific report on it, in it, about it, and the scientific report said that the neuroprocessors of the brain need to be challenged in the area that opens them and makes them be responsive. And the way to make them be responsive is not by what appears to be the case, but by what is the case. You keep saying different things, and you keep saying different things. You want to learn different letters, you want to learn different attitudes, and after a while, these attitudes keep going into the brain, and the brain, which has been fighting it, because it says, I'm relaxing, I don't want to work, and then pretty soon the brain realizes that it's not going to get away with it, it's going to have to work, and so it starts to work and says, oh, working is fun. And when it says working is fun, then it starts acting harmoniously with what you want to do. And while it acts harmoniously with what you want to do, it begins to give up its resistance and begin to flow with it. And pretty soon, you have all these neuroprocessors working on your benefit, on your choices, and the genius that is natural within every being begins to reveal itself. It begins to come out. Now, how can it begin to come out unless it was it was always there? And it's just a matter that we have hidden it by thinking that we can't do it. We say, I can't run the computer, I can't play games, I'm not good at this or that. And yes, that's right, we're not good at those things because we have built up in our consciousness the idea that we're not good at it. And now we want to build up in our consciousness the idea that we are good at it. Now, the only way we build up in our consciousness that we are good at it is to go out there and practice. The brain needs repetition to learn new things. Ellen went on to the tennis court, and when she first went on, she didn't know beans from barley, you know. And she would take her tennis racket and she would do dumb things with it, and accidentally she'd hit the ball occasionally, and her instructor would say, Ellen, you're wonderful. Ellen, you're wonderful. And Ellen said, I don't feel so wonderful. I feel so stupid. Look at everybody else. They're doing it so nice, you know. But Ellen, you're wonderful. Just keep it up. And so Ellen has all this encouragement. And it maybe lasts for a day, you know. But all this encouragement. And at the end of the day, she says, you know, I did better. I was able to hold the tennis racket in my hand. But my hands are so little, you know. And that tennis racket is so big, and that handle is so big, you know, that's for big people, not for little people. And after a while, she gets accustomed to holding the racket in her hand, and pretty soon the racket's not big. And pretty soon as she uses the racket for a week or so, her arms become accustomed to it, and she gains strength in her arms, and the strength her muscles are saying to her arms, see, you got strength, you know, you're there. You can do anything you want to do. And before you know it, she's starting to act like the bigger girls who are doing well at tennis, and pretty soon she's out there taking on the big girls and saying, hey, let's play. Well, you're just a runt. No, come on, let's play. And so they play with her and they say, oh my goodness, you're good. You're good. But she wasn't that way in the beginning. She had to get a new image of herself. She had to get a new attitude. The brain needs repetition to learn new things. And so she had to do the repetition of playing with her tennis racket and doing these things. Well, now, the animals of the world were living harmoniously and doing everything beautifully. The fish of the sea lived in the sea, and the animals on the ground lived on the ground, and the wolves hunted in the forest, and the bears, and they did all these things. They did all the natural things, and then all of a sudden a new environment comes. They say that all of the polar bears will be extinct in the next 100 years because of the change in the atmosphere, and we should save the polar bear. Well, from what? If nature is changing and the polar bears are going away, the polar bears are going away. If nature is changing and the volcanoes are rearranging the underground and the glaciers are melting on the upper ground and the water level is coming up and inundating the seaboard where many of the cities are and all those people are going to be drowned, big deal. You say, how heartless you are. No, no, no. We see the changing of the planet. We see the changing of our environment. We see the changing of how things are. And for people who build their beautiful homes on the edge of a cliff, which has a tendency to fall down, for them to think that we should feel sorry for them is silly. For people to build their beautiful homes in the river valley, which floods every 5 or 10 years, but really floods terribly, and it will probably flood more because things are being changed, we shouldn't feel sorry for them. They shouldn't build there. If they're going to build their lovely homes, build it up on the bluff a little bit, you know, build it away from the river. But I like being down on the river, you know, you put your boat out there and you go swimming and you walk out in front of your house, you could do these. Well, then you take the chance of the changing environment, of the changing. But you see, the brain needs repetition to learn things. And what we want to learn is, why do we want to change the world? Why don't we admire the world the way it is and live harmoniously with it? Why do we want, instead of having a dozen children, have one or two, you know, and not have overpopulation, just have a nice population? But the thing is, oh, wonderful family, big families are wonderful. Yeah, that's fine, that's fine, that's fine. But so are small families. Can you imagine a mother and father giving their one or two children majority of their attention? They don't have to work so hard because they don't have to feed so many mouths. They don't have to take care of so many bodies and have so many doctor bills and have so many things, and they could enjoy the family. And they wouldn't have to have such a demanding job that would demand that they were working a workaholic, you know. And how wonderful that is to be a workaholic, you know. Isn't that wonderful? Now, regarding Henry, he was a workaholic, you know. And for 11 years, he didn't even know his daughter existed, you know. He went in there and did the fatherly thing now and then, bawled her out and told her to go to hell and stuff like that. But the thing is, when he woke up to the realization that, hey, I don't really like being this tough guy. I don't really like being this man that has to go out and work hard and constantly. And so what happened? He changed. But the thing is, what was his nature? His nature was to be a gentle person. But he was trained by the environment and by the role models that he had, his father and others, who were living in a constant state of winning battles, going out and being a top lawyer, being the top this and the top that, and instead of just enjoying themselves. What is the most precious things on earth that we have been told? And the most precious things on earth is God, country, and family. God, country, and family. Now, isn't that sort of mixed up?
Mm-hmm.
It should be family, God, and country, huh?
God, family, country.
Well, Ellen, God is outside. Ellen, God is outside. Ellen. I am talking about society and how they think of it. Now, if society knows that every man is God, then that's a different thing. But society doesn't know that right now. You understand that?
Okay.
So therefore, what should be first? The love of the home, right?
Family.
And family, right. the love of the home and family. Well, now, if you love your home and your family, you're going to want to try to give your best to it. You're not going to want, you don't have to work so hard. You don't have to do these things, but you do them in two ways. One is you work hard to earn money to take care of your family. And two, you're ashamed to go home to your family because you haven't made as much as you'd like to have for them, so you go to the bar. You understand? You understand? And you see, this is what we do to ourselves. We create ourselves this this situation. Now, why is it that the early families had a lot of children? Because they died. Or because they needed them to help operate the farm. They needed them to help take care of the needs of the family. But a good father and a good mother and two good children, for instance, I'm not saying that these are things how they should be, but I'm just saying a good father and a good mother could take care of two good children very easily. Whether they had to have their garden in the backyard or whether they wanted to be involved in society. But they don't have to be involved in society for all the hours of the day and never at home with their family. And when they're so rich, then they have a nanny take care of them. And so the nanny is influencing the children from 1 to 6, you know. And so that's what the world is all about. Now, the things that I've said right now don't mean a lot. And they don't mean virtually anything, in fact. All that it does mean is that we have a brain. And our brain is going to do for us what we want done. And just ask yourself, I do of myself all the time, ask yourself, what are your values? What do you want out of life? Do you want happiness? Well, if you want happiness, you got to spend your time in happiness. Do you want sadness? People say, no, I don't want that. Well, then don't spend your time in sadness. If you want poverty, then spend your time in poverty. Well, that's what everybody's got. No, they don't. Everybody has lots of money to do all the things they want to do. Do you realize that if the world were like most people describe it, not most people, but many people describe it, as rotten and bad as most people, and many people describe it, it would not be a worthwhile world living in. But the great majority of this world, the 85% of this world, that's 85% or more, are filled with happy people, people who are well, people who are enjoying themselves, people who have money to live. The man works or the woman works or whatever, and they come home at the end of the day. You know? Uh-huh. And why was farming so wonderful in the early days? Because when it became dark, they had to come inside. They had to quit working outside. And then they came inside and they were with their family. And whatever they did in their homes, they did in their homes, you know. And maybe they learned to knit and sew and stuff like that. Well, now, that was not all of necessity. It was benefit. But the thing is, it was something to do together. Mm-hmm. It was a family learning together and enjoying together and having good. And when the little girl would make a misstitch or something like that, the mother would say, "You stupid kid!" She would say, "Hey, now, I find it so easy to do it this way, you know, and work this way." And the mothers were just as rotten in those days as they are in these days, because in these days, the mother says, the kid says, the mother says to the kid, "How do you use a computer?" And the kid said, like this. And the mother said, "Slow down so I can see it." Well, in those days, the mother was so quick with her needle, the daughter had to say, "Mom, not so fast. I couldn't see how you were doing that, you know." So the mother learns to teach the kid by going at a rate that the kid can apprehend. And the same with the kids now. The kids learn to slow down for their parents, so their parents can catch on to how to use the computers and stuff like that. Well, that's all a matter of the brain. It needs that repetition to grow and to expand and to be something wonderful. Now, if you live in a happy world, you made it so. If you live in an unhappy world, you made it so. And if you are so busy being a beautiful role model, that's wonderful. But if you're so busy complaining about the role models that other people are putting out for you, then you're just not paying attention to the right thing. You're looking in the wrong direction. So let's all look in the right direction inside ourselves and find the greatest role model we could ever want. And in finding the greatest role model, let's follow that role model, because that role model is the role model that says to us, everything is in divine order. Everything is perfect. Everything is beautiful. And when we do that, then everything is beautiful. But it's up to us. Totally up to us. The brain needs repetition to learn new things. Go for it. Have a lovely day, and let your brain have some play. I love you. I love you. I love you.